I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. On the radio, 1 until 4. After 4 o'clock, John and Ken on demand, the podcast on the iHeart app. And you listen to what you missed. And you can listen all weekend to anything you missed this week.
All right, we'll have a full update in 1 hour on that story out of Orange County where a judge has now been charged with murdering his wife, shooting her to death. The story got even more bizarre with some court document filings. Corbin Carson is following it for KFI News. He'll join us in 1 hour, followed by the Moist Line. We got two rounds of the Moist Line coming in the 3 o'clock hour. Right now, we turn our attention to another story that's attracting attention. It's about, because people love the word mansion. It's a mansion that apparently has been overrun and trashed by squatters, at one time believed to be worth $10 million. We get the story and more details from Blake Trolley, KFI News.
What did these wild animals do to the mansion?
I don't know, but you know what I was thinking about, guys, is they should have contacted the city. Remember what we heard last week? Contact the city if you're being evicted. So I was.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, was this an illegal?
I'm surprised nobody said yet, let's let people live in there since we have so many homeless people and this place is out and unoccupied.
So anyways, guys, yesterday afternoon, police were called to this Mediterranean mansion in the Hollywood Hills. This is a 14,000 square foot mansion. I know what you mean there, Ken. I think the word mansion's often overused. People will use it for 4,000 or 5,000 square foot homes. But at 14,000 square feet, I think you've inched into the mansion zone. Yeah. To get to this home, you pull off Sunset kind of near Carney's and near the Comedy Store.
Oh, no wonder John knows where it is.
You just keep going up and up and up. I mean, it is way back in the hills. It's actually surprising that anybody would even find this home. Yesterday, somebody hears a woman screaming. Officers believe she may have been bitten by a dog. Police went inside and found three squatters, two women and a man. They were removed from the home, cuffed, and cited for trespassing, then released. One of the women told a reporter that this was all a misunderstanding and that she was there to clean the property up, that it may be going back up for sale or back up for lease. But a realtor fired back saying, no, nobody was supposed to be inside the property. Footage from inside this property that was taken yesterday shows this home absolutely trashed. There's graffiti all over the place, trash all over the place, debris on the decks, feces on the property.
Ah, come on.
This is a big drop from where the house was when it was built in 2008 by a well-known architect and designer. Redfin shows there was a foreclosure sale on the home in 2013, and it's really a mystery right now as to who exactly owns this home, what they want to do with it. You know, I was joking earlier. I was saying, you know, when homes have an ad that say, you know, entertainer's dream, and really they're just alluding to the fact that the home has a jacuzzi on the side yard. This actually is an entertainer's dream. 6 bedrooms, 12 bathrooms. There's a theater that can seat 18 people, a ballroom, a
Roman spa. It looks like a
hotel. Guys, I took a video of this. I put it on my Twitter, at Blake Trolley. KFI retweeted it. Look at the size of this thing compared to all the homes around it. I mean, even in the Hollywood Hills, it sticks out. It is a huge home. Anyways, I spoke with a neighbor who says he's never, since this home is sold, he's never actually seen anybody at this home claiming to be the owner.
The fact, who obviously wanted to take control over that piece of property, is unknown. I have never seen anyone visit that house as the owners rather than phony owners.
So you hear him there say phony owners. He says that throughout the years, this has been an issue. This has been going on since the home was sold. There's been different groups of squatters that have gone to this home. And he says every single time they do a pretty good job, almost a professional job, of trying to convince the neighbors that they're actually supposed to be there.
No, there were numerous attempts. I would say at least three that I'm aware of. And when you would ask people, you know, are you going to live here? What are you working on this? He said, no, I just bought it. And they would immediately, and this was sort of a giveaway, produce some documents that would show that this was purchased at a lien sale or foreclosure sale. And you look at those documents, and you know they could be
printed off the internet,
faked in an instant. All it takes is just a document printed off the internet. You invent any signature you want, and at that point, you could show it to the police, you could show it to neighbors. You at least have claim.
Yeah. So I've heard that happens sometimes, where the squatters take over what they think is an abandoned house, and they do print up their own deed. And then the police come, and the police don't know what to do. And to go through court to prove that they have a fake deed can take months.
What's really interesting, too, is you see how trash this property is. I went and spoke with a woman who lives just across the street. She didn't want to be recorded, but she said she had no idea that there was anybody in this home. I mean, it is a huge home. I would imagine you could kind of run around in there. Maybe nobody would notice you. But she's like, I never saw lights on. I never saw any sign that anybody was in that home. But, you know, if you look out on this, I mean, just from the street, and this is some of the footage that I took, you look out at this big window. It looks like it's meant to look out towards the coast, you know, look out over West L.A. It's covered in graffiti. So it really is,
yeah,
a mystery as to
people.
Why somebody would hold... Average people. And what's really weird, too, guys, they bought this home in 2013 for about $7 million. As it sits right now, even in its condition, it's estimated to be worth more than $10 million. So it's really just kind of shocking that the person who owns this property is holding on to it.
Well, you know, I used to live up in the hills off Benedict Canyon. And there are some mansions scattered about that are just owned by sketchy people, often foreigners. Often it seems to be like a money laundering situation. There was one home that 8 years it was being constructed. I used to drive by it every day taking my kids to school. And we laughed about it from like kindergarten to eighth grade. That same home, always in a state of construction, always the windows boarded up. And, you know, I would look online out of curiosity. Well, who owns this? And it's just foreigners hiding money out here. You know, Beverly Hills, Bel Air, Hollywood Hills, that's all magic to the rest of the world. And so people buy up properties because it's really cool when they have an excess amount of money. And often they're just parking the money. They don't really care about the property. There's more than that,
yeah,
that people know.
Well, and one thing with this is, I guess yesterday a property manager visited the guy that I spoke with. She was checking on nearby people after the police response. And he had asked her, hey, I really want to know who owns this property. Can you tell me who owns it? And she said she signed an NDA and wouldn't tell him. So that just, again, adds to the bizarreness of all of this.
Yeah, no, I remember there was a house down the hill from our place, a little less than a mile, and it was really a mansion. They had a huge carport, like a second deck carport. They'd have like 14 cars parked up there, and they would have, it seemed like, a dozen people milling about, all obviously foreign. And, you know, you just looked at that scene, and you knew there was something up. You couldn't put your finger on it, but this wasn't a family picnic that was going on. There was something else going on. I don't know what they were doing.
I just want to put this out there. If anybody's just trying to have a shell for their money and they've got, you know, 14,000 square feet in the Hollywood Hills, reach out to me. Find my information on the KFI website, and I'll be happy to watch over it. You'll know who your squatter is.
Yeah, right. You're still living with your parents? Is that what the problem is?
I'm about a step above that, guys.
You won't throw any poop around. By the way, the two women that they arrested, I saw they're kind of youngish, kind of trashy looking. I mean,
apparently one of them said, "I was hired to clean up and take the squatters out and get the house ready for sale," but apparently that was denied by a real estate agent.
Yeah, no, nice story.
Yeah, I think that really leans into what we're hearing about with this professionalism of all of this. They produce documents, as this guy was saying, and they all have a story, you know, of why they're there.
All right, Blake, thank you very much for that report.
All right, thanks, guys.
You know, Blake Trolley, KFI News. It looks like Channel 5 says in January of last year, a 41-year-old man barricaded himself inside the home with a dog after pointing a shotgun at a person. They took him into custody after an hour-long standoff.
Yeah, it's probably been empty for a long time.
It sounds like maybe 10 years, the way Blake described it. Built in 2008 and somebody left in 2013.
There's quite a few of these.
I didn't realize that, because that's really valuable, that land alone, and you could fix that place up. Where is those TV shows where they renovate and flip?
There is such a dirty underworld. There's so much dirty money sloshing around. You know, there's a lot of wealthy, like from out of Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia money?
Yeah, no, there is. It's all over, and they come here to live glamorously as part of their lifestyle, and they're extremely wealthy, and they buy up huge trophy houses, and maybe they live in them, maybe they don't, maybe they care for them, maybe not. Maybe these people are rich people are involved in tax issues. There's so much like money laundering and money hiding going on.
All right, when we come back, we'll give you the latest what we know about the fires in Hawaii, particularly in Maui and Lahaina, that village.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right. Well, we'll give you what we know up to date on the fires in Hawaii. And of course, a lot of attention focused on the island of Maui, where a village called Lahaina has been destroyed. The death toll is at least 55. It has wiped out this historic town of Lahaina, just everything leveled. They are also talking about it being probably the worst natural disaster in the history of that state. There was a tsunami that killed 61 people in 1960. And back in 1946, they believe more than 150 people were killed by another tsunami. What this led to, and if you've been to Hawaii, and I remember this when I was in Waikiki on one of my visits, Honolulu, there's a siren system. And the sirens are positioned, there's 400 sirens positioned across the island to alert people to various natural disasters. But most reports are that they were not exactly activated. The problem was these winds kicked up so fast, so strong. And we know this in California. What was the town, John, up in, not Paradise, but even before that, there was a larger town where the winds were so immense, it just blew in like a hurricane with the fire.
Yeah.
And people just had no chance to evacuate and very little warning.
Well, the winds they had in Hawaii were very similar to the Santa Ana wind effect that we have here.
Yes, so at least more of the harsher winds, right? We've had communities in California that have had these big gusty fires brought on by the winds.
The winds get compressed and they're pushed down a mountain slope. And the compression of the air causes the air to heat up, and the differential between high pressure and low pressure create the wind to begin with, and then when they're jammed through a narrow opening, and they're going downward at a rapid rate, that creates an intensely hot wind, which feeds the fire.
Yeah, they had a dry summer. They had strong winds from that passing hurricane, and that's why at least three wildfires erupted on Maui this week, and a lot of the brush just burnt up very quickly. But obviously, the biggest damage came when it swept through this village of Lahaina, and just absolutely, it's going to have to be rebuilt from the ground up before anything can be done. Of course, as you would expect, after days go by, there are people saying we should have known about this. There have been warnings that were issued even as long as 10 years ago about the buildup of the really dry brush and what would happen if we had the right conditions that could sweep through here. Why did we do more to prepare for this?
The sirens didn't go off, so nobody set to turn the sirens on.
Yeah, they said phone alerts,
there was power and cell phone outages.
Yeah, there was, right.
So you're sending alerts to
This is why you need AM radio.
Well, exactly right.
This is what we warn about.
Everyone
says, well, I can get a text to tell me what to do. No, it could knock out your cell lines.
Yeah, so they were sending messages to dead cell phones that were not connected to anything. All you have is a brick in your hand there.
Right.
But you have a radio, like a battery-operated radio.
That's right. Battery-operated, good old AM will come through.
You survive if the electricity goes out. You survive if the cell towers go out. Just get a battery-operated radio and you tune into us.
You can't beat that. We'll be there. Nuclear, fire, earthquake. I mean,
we have a siren, right? Our siren works.
Yeah, I was in Waikiki. It was a long time ago, but the tsunami thing went off and we all froze. But they do drills. I don't know.
Listen to how they brag that they have the largest integrated outdoor all hazard public safety warning system in the world. You got that? Mm. The largest integrated outdoor all-hazard public safety, 400 sirens. Hmm. Supposed to alert you to fire, tsunami, whatever, right? Incoming attack.
Right.
And nothing. There was nothing.
They're still trying to figure out the cause. Obviously, they have to get through fighting the fires first and trying to help people before they do a big examination on the cause of these fires. A couple of things, though, came up. And, of course, it's the old statistic. 85% of U.S. wildfires are caused by people. 85%. So
yeah,
we're looking at that possibility being the most strongest for some of these blazes.
Not climate change, but people.
No.
Badly maintained power lines. That's
idiots who are arsonists or otherwise careless.
Right.
I was in Hawaii 2 years ago, and there's a significant number of vagrants, at least in the Waikiki section. I saw a bunch of vagrants living on the beach, bums just hanging around.
I know. We're all at the mercy of these people.
Another possibility is still lightning. And, of course, the Hawaiian Islands have 6 active volcanoes, including one on Maui. And, of course, they can shoot off some flames. And so any of these things are possible. Yeah, the hurricane that passed through was Dora. Hundreds of miles southwest of the Hawaiian Islands in the Pacific Ocean, and they believe that some winds came off of that in addition to just other ripe conditions.
I read that they found a lot of people trapped in their cars because there's only 2 roads to get out of Lahaina.
Oh, so they were trying to...
It's just like paradise. So people were burned alive inside their cars.
Oh, yeah, that's what happened in the town of Paradise, right?
Even if the sirens go off and everybody jams the roads at the same time, then you're stuck, and here comes the wall of full flames, and you're cooked, literally.
You're literally cooked.
So, it's just one of those places that is tough to live in when you only have 2 exits.
Now, the only good news is they've kind of canceled most of the alerts as the winds are slowly dying down, so probably most of the worst of the danger has passed.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic, and then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, 3 o'clock hour is coming fast. We'll, of course, have the Moist Line calls for you, two rounds of them. We'll be talking to Corbin Carson from KFI News about that judge in Orange County who has now been officially charged with shooting his wife and killing her. This happened Thursday last week, and we found out quite a few things in the court filings, including it looks like a confession. He texted his staff that he can't come in tomorrow. He just shot his wife.
There you go. That would be, I should go directly to prison now and save all the nonsense.
If you ever text me that, I think I'd stare at it and wonder if it,
Well, I could send you jokes.
I know, because you send me a lot of jokes, so I'd wonder if it was...
Right, so I...
And stop sending me Facebook stuff from people I don't want to hear about. Okay? Just a warning. We'll say no more. And not Deborah Mark.
Although he doesn't want to hear about you either.
I don't want to hear about you.
I know.
Let's talk about the poor people in California. A couple of stories that popped up. Apparently, only 16% of Californians can afford to buy a home. You need $208,000 in income to qualify for a 30-year loan.
Isn't that stunning? You have to make $200,000?
But I thought people are leaving California. Shouldn't that make the inventory better?
I guess not enough for leaving. We need more. Wow. You know, there's no way out of this, I guess. This is just the way life's going to be here.
And 25% of the state is in poverty.
Right.
They can't get close.
No,
well, even buying a home, but there's even some people above poverty in the middle ground. Yeah. They can't afford it either. I mean, $208,000 in income is a pretty good salary, even for SoCal.
Well, if you took out the millions of illegal immigrants, you'd have a lot of housing stock, or at least land to build housing stock available.
Right. Well, a lot of people rent. That take them out too, or
well, no. But what I'm saying is, we have so many poor people, a lot of them are here illegally, that has driven up the price of real estate because they're not supposed to be here.
Well, how did they get a house?
They don't have a house, but they're living in something that takes up space on land, right?
Would anybody want to buy that? Or?
Well, no, you'd bulldoze the neighborhoods.
Not gentrification.
Yes, gentrification. You bulldoze ugly neighborhoods and you build nice neighborhoods. For all the people who go to work.
They're also saying that a lot of people are not selling because they got their low interest rates back when we were at the 2-3% level, and they don't want to start over. And if they have to take a new loan to buy a new house, it's not going to be that low a rate. So they're just saying, I'm hanging on.
I'm in that boat. Yeah. We talked for a few years about selling and downsizing since the kids have mostly grown up. And I got a 2.75% mortgage.
Yeah,
now I'm going to trade that in for
that low too.
Yeah, I'm going to trade that in for a 7.5% mortgage. Yeah. And as it turns out, you could buy a less expensive house than the one you're in, but now you got to pay the new property tax number for 2023 the new house. So you do all the math up, you're not saving much, even if you're chopping a lot of square footage out of your.
I think that keeps a lot of people in their homes in California, right? Those are the decisions. Those are the financial realities. Meanwhile, we find out that a couple of politicians from California traveled to Kenya to study basic income. As I mentioned, this is all about the poor people. My favorite, though, comes from Michael Tubbs, who's an advisor to Gavin Newsom. Do you remember him? He was the mayor of Stockton, where he started the guaranteed income program.
Yeah.
And here's his quote. See if you agree. Poverty's not a reflection of intellect or aptitude or potential. It's a failure on a policy and systems level.
An idiot. See, that is the socialist woke mindset.
That's right. No responsibility.
Really? No reflection on intelligence and aptitude, your education, your skills. Of course it is. It absolutely is.
Yes.
You sit in a room of like 100 people who are making big six-figure salaries in various professions, sit in a room of people who are making, you know, $20,000 a year. You tell me if you don't see an intellectual difference, a skills difference. Really? Boy, that'd be a great show. I'd love to do a show with this guy, Tubbs.
And it say, was Holly Mitchell that went. We just threw her in the dumpster last week.
Holly Mitchell.
And State Assembly member Matt Haney. Those are the two that went to Kenya because they have one of the world's largest basic guaranteed income.
Yeah.
$25 a month.
I bet you,
goes a long way in Kenya, I guess.
You know what? I went to Kenya. I went to Nairobi years ago, and I didn't see 500 disgusting RVs lining the streets. In fact, I saw a lot of people working really hard in Kenya, trudging to the factories every day, and women carrying large baskets on their heads because they were involved in selling goods, whether it was blankets and textiles or fruit or whatever. And everybody was working hard there. And, you know, you go to Holly Mitchell's district and you see people injecting meth, heroin.
Well, that's where the RVs are.
That's where they are. Yeah, the RVs
are. The story we did last week, by hundreds of RVs in that area in East Gardena.
So does she notice that the people in Africa largely are trying to work? Maybe they can't earn much money because the economy is not great in terms of high paying jobs, but they're working. They're doing what they can. They're working long hours. It's a lot of physical labor, a lot of sweating. Difference between that and walking down RV Alley?
Hey, you want to hear a Kamala Harris quote that came out of the story? What has become crystal clear to me on this trip is that poverty is poverty, regardless of the continent. Thanks, Holly.
But that's the emptiest statement in the world. Poverty is poverty,
so why should it be?
Again, with the repetition.
Now, the last story dealing somewhat with the poor, but not exactly. Believe it or not, there may be a bill in Sacramento. And apparently they've talked about it for years, but now there's going to be a big push. Because, John, in case you're not aware, this has been the summer of labor unrest in California.
Mm-hmm.
With the striking writers, actors, hotel workers, then the city workers who walked off and didn't pick up your garbage.
When I see striking writers, and we have thousands of them here in Burbank, right? Future Tribe up and down the boulevards.
I did see them. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think in terms of unrest.
They don't seem to be really.
I see these
wild
these older paunchy guys. They don't look like rioters to me. I'm not picking up on the unrest.
Well, let's just float this idea past you and whoever else is listening. The Democrats in Sacramento are probably going to draft a bill that pays striking workers unemployment money. Yeah, a little strange. I mean, normally what you're doing, if you're in a union, you get strike benefits from the union. But they want to reach into the pot of unemployment money and hand it out to striking workers.
But they've chosen to stop working.
And, of course, the California Labor Federation, whose leader, former Assembly member Lorena Gonzalez, is spearheading this. They tried to pass this in 2019, but it didn't get through. So,
but look, I am sympathetic to the writers. I think they're getting screwed over by the studios. But
because they're paunchy old men,
you're choosing not to work. You can't choose not to work and then demand tax money,
unemployment money, because that's unemployment goes to people who are laid off,
right? Yeah.
Not people who quit their jobs or, in this case,
correct.
You step away from their jobs.
You quit your job, you can't get unemployment.
You cannot. No, you have to be.
Well, then this is another backdoor universal basic income plan. Because if you're going to do it
for the right. It's to show sympathy. I mean, the unions are so powerful in Sacramento. It's by their hand that they're thinking about this. Probably saying, if you don't do this, I won't donate to your campaign this year. But that could significantly raise the unemployment insurance money that they tab on employers and workers. You pay into the fund too. So if they have to come up with millions or tens of millions of more dollars
to
pay striking workers.
Workers pay a little bit into this fund, correct?
Yes, we do. Yes.
Oh, then definitely no. I'm tapped out.
Most of it goes on employers, but the workers. All right, we got more coming up.
Then, you know what? Everybody's got to take another job is what they got to do. I mean, if you're on strike, then, you know,
But then how do you march in the streets?
Well, the marching isn't doing anything.
They've resumed talks. Isn't that what I heard today? The writers and the actors and the
If they resume talks, it doesn't come from the marching. It comes from the studios tired of losing money.
Right? Yeah, the studios fed up with losing money. All right, we'll be talking about that Orange County judge who has now been formally charged with shooting his wife to death. Some crazy developments coming up after 3.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio 1 till 4 after 4 o'clock. iHeart app has the John and Ken on demand podcast. Listen to what you missed.
All right. In the limelight this afternoon is Orange County Superior Court Judge Jeffrey Ferguson, who has now been formally charged with killing his wife, shooting her to death. Apparently, they had an argument. And when they got back to the house, she said something to the effect of, well, why don't you pull a real gun out if you're going to pretend to shoot me? And he did actually have one in his ankle holster, and it went off. She's dead.
That's right. Never never suggest that to somebody who's drunk and actually has a gun on him.
And then he actually texted coworkers and said, I won't be in tomorrow. I shot my wife. Weird. Anyway, Corbin Carson is covering the story. He'll be on after the news at 3 o'clock, followed by The Moist Line on the John and Ken Show. A story that got a lot of attention this afternoon, but really for what it means. The Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, is appointing a special counsel in the Hunter Biden investigation. The special counsel is a man by the name of David Weiss, who's the U.S. attorney in Delaware, who'd already been investigating Hunter Biden, and they came up with the plea deal that fell apart. So I don't know if this is worth anything, but apparently he asked for and he wanted to have the title of special counsel, I guess, to do whatever he has to do, because the plea deal now apparently has completely fallen apart. It went before a judge, and we told you the defense was like, well, we thought this was immunity from everything. That's not really what it says. So,
yeah,
over the tax and gun charges.
Yeah, that DA is questionable because he's the one who agreed to the deal.
He's a U.S. attorney.
Right? Yeah, he's a U.S. attorney. What did I call him? He's a U.S.
DA
attorney.
Now is David.
Yeah,
Weiss
no, he
name.
Was trying to pull a fast one on the judge because there were two agreements, if I remember. There was the plea agreement. And then there was a secondary agreement regarding his probation terms. And in that secondary agreement, which the judge did not have to sign off on, it indicated that Hunter Biden was not going to be further prosecuted for anything.
Right.
So technically, it wasn't in the plea agreement, but it was in another agreement. And so this U.S. Attorney Weiss, he was trying to fool the judge. So yeah. I there's no.
And Weiss is the one that these whistleblowers were complaining about, that basically they were told it was all going to be a dead end and they weren't allowed to do this and do that and basically shut off a lot of avenues of exploring Hunter Biden's finances.
I think that this is a political move by the Biden White House
to make whatever percentage of Americans are really worried about this story just feel like, oh, well, don't worry, we're investigating.
That both sides are being investigated. It's not just Biden investigating his
Trump.
Political opponent.
Right.
No, he's even having his own son investigated because he's a fair man.
That's right.
But you give it to the guy who is going to give Hunter Biden a free pass just a few weeks ago.
Oh, he's going to come back and say nothing to see here.
Of course he is.
And I tell you, every article I read done by, quote, the mainstream media said, oh, this is already looked into back in 2019 when Trump was president, and there's nothing to see. Move along.
No. Well, they're lying. There's a lot to see here. There's a lot of corruption going on.
I'm not so sure, right. I'm not so sure we knew then what we know now on this story, too.
No, we did. We didn't know that they had. It's $20 million that the Biden family took in. $20
million. Right. And a lot of it came from oligarchs.
And Joe was part of a couple of dozen meetings.
Yep.
And Joe got the prosecutor.
Standing by. He was on the phone or he called in. He said, hello, how are you? I'm right here.
Yeah. He got the prosecutor in Ukraine fired. Bragged about it.
Did you see that picture, that plane picture where Biden's standing there when he was VP? He was headed to Ukraine to get that prosecutor fired. And apparently the other man in the picture is one of Hunter's business associates. So people are like, well, there you go.
But that's what was going on. So how can this new special counsel, Weiss, if he legitimately goes down the Hunter Biden road, it leads to Joe.
Yeah.
It has to lead to Joe. Because that was the product they were selling. They were selling Joe's influence. That's how Hunter made the money. So I don't buy this. I don't believe in it.
And now we finish out the hour with the fun story of the day. I almost thought this was a spoof when I first saw it. A supermarket in Austria had to close down for 3 days because they had to capture a spider. The spider, apparently a banana spider from South America, and I guess it comes with the bananas. It's actually called the Brazilian wandering spider. And it can cause problems, but one of the things it can do to men, give you an erection if it bites you.
Oh.
A lot of men want to capture that spider.
Hours long erection.
Well, hours long?
Yeah, but it does have a deadly bite. It can cause hypothermia, blurred vision, convulsions.
Boy, you're taking a risk there, aren't you?
So you got to be careful when you reach into the banana box. Banana could grow.
Why are you putting a spider in your pants, sir?
Yeah. Apparently, this has happened before, where sometimes these shipments come in from South America, and one of these spiders is hiding in the box, right?
Yeah.
And he starts running around the grocery store.
Yeah. I'd rather take one of Deborah's blue pills.
She's a good saleswoman, isn't she?
Then put a spider in my pants.
Men, if you can hear me, I can help you with your problems.
Are those racy commercials still running?
Yes.
They still are,
They
huh?
are.
You get fan mail for that?
No, I don't get fan mail. My name is not on. Or,
well, you did you did get an email from one
I
of our
did,
listeners.
Yeah, from a few different people in different markets that hear me.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the Orange County judge who's now been charged with murdering his wife. And apparently he actually texted coworkers saying, yeah, I lost it. I shot her. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Kevin Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.